You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Mumsy. Alongside me is always the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. And joining us once again on the show, our family member over here, the man the Detroit Pistons should have hired, and now Pistons fans are going to suffer for another season because you can't get your business right. It's Mr. Scott Perry. Scott, how you doing, brother?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, man. Great to be back on with my family here. So looking forward to talking a little NBA Finals today.
Yes, sir. BJ, how are you keeping? We had a couple of days without a podcast. Was it nice to get a break from my voice?
Well, we talked anyway, so just we didn't record it.
Well, we are going to be breaking down our preview and predictions for the NBA Finals that get underway this week. What better place to begin than a clip that was blown up on social media this week? Mr. BJ Armstrong breaking down how the Dallas Mavericks play their offense by playing through the middle of the court so that you can't throw double teams because they've got Kyrie one pass away, they've got their big in a dunker spot, and they've got two shooters in the corners. And a question that we had in the comments, BJ, is what can teams do to counter this?
Well, you know, all those things are addressed in training camp, and that's why we do it, right? And the first thing that we do is we have to defend the screen roll in a number of ways, right? You can trap it, you can switch it, you can go one man remove, you can go two man remove, you can push it left, you can push it right. So you have to have a number of ways, right? And all of those things have to be addressed in training camp so that as these things are needed at any particular time during the course of a season, your team, they are familiar with the different ways to defend screen roll. What you saw in the last series was they clearly didn't have options to go to in this moment, right? They didn't know if they were going to trap it. They didn't know if they were going to send it left. They didn't know what to do. And that all starts with training camp. So that's why you go through training camp, is because whatever comes up during the course of a regular season, and as Scott and anyone else who plays in the NBA will attest to, there's really no more practice time once the season starts. Okay? Once the season starts, you're playing games, you're trying to get rotation, you're trying to get guys healthy, you're trying to execute to get from get through the 82-game season. So all of those things have to be addressed. Is there one particular way? No, because what if player X is not hot that night? Maybe we don't need to double it. What if suddenly you start doing something or a player starts performing out of character? Like you see some players get hot. I mean, the kid Lively didn't miss a basket or miss a shot the entire series. Okay. Right. You have to be able to adjust on the fly. You have to be able to pivot very quickly. And all those things get addressed during the training camp. Training camp is the most important thing. And that's where the coaches go through every scenario possible that you could possibly see, so that when they come up, it's nothing new. Now you just have to go out and execute it.
Well, we saw the Timberwolves. Sorry, Coach, because I'm going to ask a question for you.
When they did switch in one of the games, they did go to switch. That's where they got burned when Rudy Gobert switched on to Doncic, and Doncic hit that game winner. So just to add to BJ's point there.
That's perfect, Scott, because the question I had for you, the Timberwolves threw a bunch of different coverages and none of them worked, right? So they tried to switch, they tried to blitz, they tried to drop. None of it worked, right? Now, the Celtics are typically a team who like to play their bigs, Horford and Porzingis, in a deep drop. And the beauty of having Jrue Holiday is he's one of the best screen navigators in the NBA in terms of getting over screens. And the Celtics also want to stay home in the corners because they don't like giving up corner threes, which are a big part of the Mavericks' offense. But, Scott, I want you to put your coaching hat on. How much do you simply say, we're going to play how we play and it's worked all season long, versus, well, Luka is clearly the best pick and roll player in the world, we're going to have to come up with something different in this series to stop him?
You go into a series, you go in, you know, trying to play what, you know, to your strengths, what you have identified to your strengths. Now, obviously, as BJ alluded to earlier, the games and the actions that occur in the games to a series may force you to adjust. But I would expect to see Boston to try to defend things the way they have done it throughout the year. I'm sure they will evaluate a little bit how they play them in the regular season, even though obviously we're in the NBA Finals now, to see what was effective, because they did beat Dallas twice this year, once before the trade and then once after the trade was made when Dallas added P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford. So I think that's what I expect from them, to kind of go on what they do strong, but be flexible moving forward. The big thing that Boston has to me, kind of working for them, I don't expect that one guy is going to be just assigned to Luka Doncic for the full seven games if it goes seven games. Okay, you may start out with Jrue Holiday, but you've got options. You know, Derek White would give him a shot. Obviously, Tatum could give him a shot. And Jaylen Brown was the one who guarded him the most in the regular season. So I would expect to see a lot of him, because he's long, he's athletic, he's close enough to Luka's size and to make him work. You're not going to shut him down, but what you want to do is make Luka work and force him into as many difficult shots as possible.
But when you have a superstar playing at this magnitude that Luka is currently playing, it reminds me of when the Celtics used to go up against LeBron James's teams when they had Doc Rivers as a coach, and they had to pick a choice. Do we try and shut down LeBron James, or do we just let him get his and try and shut down the role players? BJ, if you're looking at this series and you had to choose between trying to shut down Luka and get the ball out of his hands, or let Luka try and score as much as he can and shut down the role guys so they don't get hot, which one are you going with?
Well, when you play in a championship caliber series, okay, which is now we're playing the NBA Finals, now we're playing in an elite level, every position matters. And you have to find out what you can and you can't do for every possession. And if you come in with a game plan, well, I'm going to let Luka get his, and that's not how the game works, right? You never know who's going to work. You know, Scott has been part of a team that's won the championships. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play on the team. You know, what ends up happening is you get these unlikely contributions from people that you don't even count on, that you can't see. Your star players have to be stars. So in the case of Dallas, Luka and Kyrie are going to have to play at an elite level. Okay. And that doesn't mean that they necessarily have to score, but they have to play at an elite level. That's just a fact, right? They can be distributors. They can be defenders. You have to be able to find a way to contribute to the game, whether you score big or not. That's the first thing that your star players have to do. And then for you, Mo, you want your star players, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, to be stars. But you also have to have, the second part of that is your role players have to play their roles great, right? So the star players have to be great, and the role players have to play their role great. Now, once you get that, someone is going to have to play out of character. Someone. Now, the one thing that I'm really concerned, if I'm a Boston Celtic fan, is that bench and that depth. Mm-hmm. Scott has mentioned it in the preseason. He mentioned it during the regular season. And here we are. And we know during these playoffs, Mo, and to all of our listeners, that whatever weakness you have, it's going to show up in the playoffs. Maybe it doesn't show up in the first round, the second round, third round. But at some point, if this is a true weakness that an expert sees, he says, hey, man, if there's one thing I'm concerned about is this, it may show up here. And on the other hand, what we know is that their role players, which I'm really concerned about, because they're literally getting 20 and 20 from the center position almost every game with no plays.
The Mavericks.
You're talking about, yes, no question.
The Dallas Mavericks, between Gafford and Lively, they're literally getting 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 4 to 5 blocks without a play. They're like the fifth option on the team. That's a major concern for me. So Luka, I can live with Luka scoring 35. Wow, he's a great player. I can live with Kyrie scoring 35. Okay, that's 70 points. But what I can't live is with Gafford and these guys scoring 20 points and 20 rebounds, and they're just role players, the fifth option. They're not even the third option on the team. This is a major concern for me. And if Al Horford gets in any type of foul trouble, Al Horford has the biggest responsibility of any player in this series, because he's got to have rim protection, he's got to switch on all the best players, and he's got to help and recover. I don't know what we're expecting from Al Horford at this age, but that's a tall task. And that means they're probably going to have to end up playing zone when the Dallas Mavericks catch some rhythm, because Luka is going to figure it out. Between Luka and Kyrie, they're going to figure out something. So what I'm looking for is I'm looking for someone on the Boston Celtics to give me a double-double that I didn't count on. I don't know who that is. I'm looking for Al Horford to give me – remember that game Al Horford had against the Milwaukee Bucks? Well, he's going to need a couple of those type of games.
He's going to need more than one.
He turned 38 this week. Happy birthday, Uncle Al.
Remember, what's the kid they traded?
Grant Williams.
Remember when Grant Williams had one of those 35 – someone's going to have to step up here. These games.
Yeah.
Because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're probably going to win a couple games between them.
Yeah.
But now, suddenly, you're going to have someone else that's going to come out. Maybe it's Jrue Holiday will have one of these games, or someone's going to have to step out of character and do this and do it at an elite level, because it's going to take that type of effort to beat this Dallas team, in my opinion, because the depth of the Dallas Mavericks, that's a problem, because they're getting, I mean, they're just getting contributions that, like, frankly, I don't even know how you defend it now, Scotty, if you're talking about it, because you got to do something with Luka. You can't just let him. You can't count on Jrue Holiday getting over the picks here. No. Because the referees, as you know, as we all know, the referees are not going to be calling offensive fouls at this stage to get guys in foul trouble. Okay? They're going to let the players determine the outcome of this game. And let me tell you something. As great of a player, defensive player, as Jrue Holiday is, it's going to be very limited what he can do against these players, because they're going to get 50 touches in screen roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if he, and there's nothing you really can do at this point. So,
he doesn't have the size advantage over Luka Doncic. He's got physicality, but he's not got a size advantage at all.
That's why Jaylen Brown ends up having to guard him, in my opinion. Go ahead, Mo. I was going to say the name that we haven't talked about.
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, Scott. I want to carry on talking about Luka for a second here. Okay. If I'm the coach of the Celtics in a ridiculous alternate universe, and I want to say to Jason Tatum, look, you and Luka, you're a little bit taller than him. You're quicker than him. You're just as strong as him, maybe. I think Luka's a bit stronger, but I want you to accept this challenge of guarding Luka Doncic in this series and proving that you are a true two-way star in this league, because Jrue Holiday and Derek White are fantastic defenders, but they don't have the size. Luka can easily pass over them both. Jaylen Brown as well. Luka's bigger than him. What about saying to your best player, look, I know you want to be the guy who goes and scores 30, 40 points and wins finals MVP, but if you can do this task, that's going to give us the best chance of winning this championship.
Well, Jason's going to end up switching on to him one way or the other. Whether you want to put him on there for an entire game like that, I don't know if that's getting too far away from what Boston.
But the reason really being, do.
I know I get what you're saying. You're gonna put a challenge to him, and he's taller than Luka, and he can make things happen. Here's the issue though, and BJ kind of touched on it earlier. Those guys, Gafford and Lively, are so active on the offensive glass, and Jason Tatum has been arguably the best rebounder on the Celtics throughout the playoffs. He's averaging over 10 rebounds a game. If he's out there guarding Luka 20 feet away from the basket, what happens to your defensive rebound?
My thing is, if he's guarding Luka on the ball, when they come and screen for him and he has to switch onto the bigs, you'd rather have Jason Tatum switched onto those bigs who are running the lane for the lob threat rather than Jrue Holiday or Derek White, because he at least has the size to challenge them vertically. So he would then be in the mix for the rebounding.
Yeah, well, I think you'll see some of that with him switching on, with him switching on to him, but they're going to need Jason Tatum. What's he averaging? Over 10.5 rebounds for the playoffs? He's going to at least
like 30, 10, and 6.
Yeah, he's going to at least need to average 11, 12 rebounds in this series, in my opinion.
Yeah, because then
to be successful. Because, okay, I'm going to let you bring up the name and then I'll address it.
Because then the best birthday present Al Horford could have got for his 38th birthday is all indications that are looking like Kristaps Porzingis is going to play in this series. Now, against the Clippers and against the Timberwolves, the bigs of the Dallas Mavericks did not have to worry about Ivica Zubac or Rudy Gobert shooting from the perimeter. They now have to worry about Kristaps Porzingis, who is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. They can play the five-out offense and take them away from the inside. So that then takes away a lot of the rim protection that was deterring Anthony Edwards from driving to the hoop. They're not going to be able to sit in the lane because Rudy's not just going to be sat there in the dunk spot. Porzingis is going to be on the three-point line. How do you guys look at that X factor? And then we'll talk about the defensive side in a sec, but how do you guys look at that for the Mavericks perspective defensively?
To me, the spotlight in this series is going to be very heavy on Kristaps Porzingis. Now, I know all of the noise about Jason Tatum having to win a title and all those things to validate himself as one of the elite players in the league or whatever. And I think Tatum's going to play well. But the question about Porzingis, as we had questions about Boston's bench early in the year, was of the starting five, he's the only guy that really hasn't been in a lot of playoff action. And here we go.
Never been out of the first round.
Right, yes. And here we go.
And now he's rocking up to the finals.
Right, yeah. And he played four games this playoff series in the first, this playoff run in the first round. So he hadn't been to the second round, wasn't in the conference finals. Now here he is in the finals. Now, on paper, he can do all those things like you said. He can shoot it. He can protect the rim. And if he plays anywhere like he played during the regular season consistently, then, boy, that really that helps Boston a lot in this series. But he's got to prove it. And that's going to be the key. And it can't just be in one game. He's got to be consistent throughout this series that he is not only knocking down shots, but he's able to play physical. He's able to keep those guys off the glass. He's got to rebound. He's got to protect the rim. He's got to be a player. He's got to play close to the all-star level that he played at one time when he was in New York. That's how he's got to play in this series, to me, to make the difference in the series. Because to BJ's point earlier, I expect the stars on both sides to play good basketball. Who's going to be that X factor? And in this case, you know, it's got to be Kristaps Porzingis, because I think I know what I'm going to get from Jalen and Jason Tatum and Jrue Holiday and Derek White and Al Horford. But he's got to play big. Porzingis has to play big, and he's going to have to play a lot of minutes, because, again, I don't know that the bench – after that, Al Horford, he's back at, you know, sixth man. Who's after Al Horford that you're going to really trust in this? Is it going to be Luke Kornet? Is it going to be Peyton Pritchard? Is it going to be
Sam Hauser? I'm looking at Tillman a lot in this series, as crazy as it might sound.
Yeah.
Because all the bigs, he has the best switch versatility to guard on the perimeter.
Yeah, he does. And so, but those six are going to carry a lot of minutes. And, you know, and those young bigs, Gafford and Lively, especially, you know, Lively being a rookie, they are extremely active. And they help speed up the game for Dallas with the way they play. And
one thing I will say
closely is Kristaps Porzingis. This is a great opportunity for him to shine. If he, you know, but now this is – it's a big moment for him. It's a big moment for him and his career and this Boston Celtics team. Because if in 2 weeks from now, the Boston Celtics are champions, my strong opinion on it is that Kristaps Porzingis would have played well in this series to help make that happen.
Well, a lot is made of, like BJ, just before, as you were saying, the Mavericks get 48 minutes of production from that center position. But now with Porzingis coming back and Horford coming off the bench, they also get 48 minutes of production at the center position. If we look at the on-off splits for the starting centers against the Mavs, Zubac was plus 8.5, Chet Holmgren was plus 20.3, and Gobert was plus 9.9. But none of the opponents that they faced had that quality five-man coming off the bench. I know Naz Reid is a big, but he's really more of a four than a five. The Celtics now having 48 minutes of that center position with Horford and Porzingis, and given that Chet Holmgren was a plus 20 with his ability to space the floor and shoot, meant clearly that was somewhat of a problem for the OKC Thunder that they just couldn't capitalize on, because when Chet went to the bench, as good as Jalen Williams is at this stage of his career, he wasn't able to do that when he came off the bench. How do you guys look at that?
When I look at this, I just try to make the game where, you know, like when people are watching games, say, okay, what are the key things to watch for? Okay, so when you get to the NBA finals, you know, all of the stuff that we're talking about now, you really just throw it out the window. Okay. And what I mean by that is it's going to come down to you have to impose your will on this game. You got to impose your will. I've had a week. You can't give an NBA team a week to prepare. They're going to know your plays better than you know your plays. I remember when we played in the NBA finals, when the team that called out the two play, we started running to the place where we knew they were going to line up because we knew their plays better than they knew their plays. Okay? There is something that's really going on here that I've talked about years ago, and I'm going to talk about it now. In order to win a championship, you must play a blended brand of basketball. You must have your three-point shooting. You better be able to get to that mid-range because that's the only place that's open on the floor that we know we're not guarding. And you better have somebody that can get to that basket, all right? An X factor is you can play vertical basketball. You can throw up a lob if you get to the paint, and now you can play vertical, and only a few players can do that. The Dallas Mavericks have the ability to do all four. I don't know when is the last time a team has won, and maybe you guys can remind me, that have just played five out shooting threes and won the championship. And don't say the Warriors, because we know the Warriors play a blended brand of basketball.
And the Warriors were the best best defensive team, not only defensive team, but also in shooting twos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm concerned about is who's going to establish you're going to play at whose pace? Who's going to establish that? Is it because we know what the Celtics do? The Celtics are going to get up. How many threes they're getting up, Mo? You would know this.
They're getting 40.
They get up 40 threes. They play five out basketball. And what's the team? Name me a team that's won just playing all five out basketball. I can't recall anybody. Can you guys recall anybody?
No.
Okay. I don't really remember how many teams I've seen in the finals that play a five out offense.
That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
And it's good. No. And you're right. That's always been a concern. The heavy reliance upon the 3-point shot that this Celtics team has utilized all year, even though they had the best record. But I would say when they were at their best, what they did, they really shared the ball in that five out, and they started a lot of it with penetration into the lane, forcing teams to help kick and then move the basketball. The quality of those looks were a lot better. Where the Boston Celtics struggle is when you fought and you take away some of those threes early, then they get heavily reliant on trying to play too much one-on-one basketball. Mm-hmm. Nobody moves. Everybody then is just standing on the perimeter instead of cutting through and creating some kind of motion to eventually get the ball back out to shoot. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. Can Dallas get them to be stagnant, overly reliant upon dribble, 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 no pass, and try to create a shot, whether it be Tatum and Brown, and everybody else, you know, standing around watching? Boston can't win that way.
To be fair to the Celtics and Joe Mazzulla, I think this season they have incorporated a lot more post-up stuff than they had last season, where it was just purely the threes. Whereas this season we've seen some level of versatility in the offense, even though it's not been too much. but they have found a few things that they go to when those three pointers aren't falling.
But it's, again, it's, to me, it's always predicated off of movement. You got to get guys that,
yeah,
you know, cut to the lane and then, you know, clear out to the other side or penetrate the lane, draw a second defender kick, and then get movement. You, people rotate along the arc. That's, they've got to have constant motion offensively. But when they have struggled, you know, you go back to the Miami game in the playoffs this year when Miami went in there and beat them by 20 some points. If you can go back and watch that tape, you remember that game. Those guys just stood on the perimeter. And then one of those two guys tried to go one-on-one, and then the shots aren't falling. Those threes aren't the same rhythm shots when they're getting kicked out to people. There is no movement. People get stagnant, and that allowed Miami to get out, run, attack, and do what they needed to do to win that game, you know, in Boston. So that's, to me, that's what I'm going to be watching. But BJ's point, I can't, to answer your question, BJ, can I recall a team that was so reliant upon it? No. Because again, Golden State, they were an anomaly. They were obviously a great three-point shooting team.
And they had the best shooter ever.
But think about it. Look, they had the best shooter when he won it. But then you add one of the best scorers ever in Kevin Durant, who, when the game was on the line, always was trying to get to that 15.
But they also had ridiculous depth. They had ridiculous, like, and I remember watching Sean Livingston. It's like he's never missed a mid-range shot ever.
And again, to my point earlier, they really move bodies and move the basketball. So they weren't just a team stationary out there trying to shoot threes.
At that time, the Warriors were the fastest playing team in the league. They imposed their will. They forced you to play at a pace that traditionally no one wanted to play at, with the exception maybe the Houston Rockets at that particular time. Maybe.
Yep. Okay. Well, the Houston Rockets assembled that team to take on the Warriors.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So right now, out of all the, you know, listen, out of the playoffs, I got to give Dallas credit. Dallas have played their brand of basketball better than anyone else thus far, as far as a brand. You know, I think they're more battle tested than the Celtics are at this moment.
No doubt. But let me ask you this.
You got to give Jason Kidd a lot of credit.
Yes, you do.
Because Dallas really changed who they were or are after the trade deadline. When they, you know, so to incorporate two new players like that.
As starters.
Two stars. That is not easy to do. And you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
But here's the thing that I think about. The difference between the Celtics and the Timberwolves, right? The Celtics have four guys on the court at any given time that can create for themselves. The Timberwolves, they're essentially looking at Ant-Man to do everything. Mike Conley, we know what he's capable of, but he wasn't really looked to do a lot of stuff. Jaden McDaniels, he's looking more like a catch-and-shoot guy. Karl-Anthony Towns, okay, but you're not really giving him the ball to go to work. So they were able to put Luka on Jaden McDaniels, for example. They were able to put Kyrie Irving on Mike Conley. Whereas now with the Celtics, they have the ability to find the weak links in that Dallas defense in a way that previous opponents haven't been able to, because not just Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who we know are stars in this league, but Derek White is a pretty good player. People were talking about him maybe being an all-star this year. And Drew Holiday, we talk about his defense all day long. Everyone knows Drew Holiday, what he's going to do defensively. But he's one of the best guards in the league at scoring on post-up when he has a strength mismatch against the guy who's guarding him. So let's say you put Derek Jones Jr. and PJ Washington on Tatum and Brown. Your two best defenders are on the other team's two best offensive players. You do still feel pretty good about finding Drew Holiday on the post against a Kyrie Irving, or Luka Doncic having to chase around Derek White when he's coming through screens. So how much more of a problem does that present when we talk about them being battle-tested? They've not faced a team like this before in their road to the finals.
Well, Boston has to be disciplined to play that way. That's the key. Instead of, you know, to BJ's point, talking, you know, we got to be fixated on shooting 40, 45 threes just, you know, because. You know, I've always been a firm believer, especially when you're playing against elite offensive players like you are in Kyrie and Luka, you got to make them work defensively. And Boston, this is why in this series, ball movement, player movement are going to be huge. Because to your point, yeah, then eventually we can, I get them closing out, Luka and Kyrie closing out or on the move. Yeah, I like some of those matchups that you talked about that we could, you know, that team can attack and try to exploit them. But it has to come off of ball and player movement. It can't just be, okay, we're going to throw the ball to Jrue Holiday or Derek White and let them go ISO because that's their matchup. That's not their game either. And that's not the Celtics style of game. But if you do it out of movement, ball and player movement, and get that get the Dallas defense to rotate once or twice, now you can exploit those things in those matchups that you're talking about, Mo.
One thing that the Timberwolves were criticized for was not going at Luka and Kyrie on the defensive end enough. So do you think the Celtics should make it a point of emphasis that, like they did to Miles Turner, for example, whoever Miles Turner was guarding would become the screener so that Jason Tatum could go at him? Is that something you want to see the Celtics do? And whoever Luka's guarding, every possession down on defense, we're going to tire him out so that he doesn't have the legs to do what he wants to do on offense over the course of these seven games?
Oh, I talked a little bit about it earlier. I'm trying to engage he and Kyrie as much as I can to try to wear them down. Look, they're great offensive players, and they're going to have some big offensive games, don't get me wrong. But I want them to be engaged, and they have been, to their credit. I'm going to give Luka and Kyrie credit that during this playoff run, both of them have definitely had a good focus defensively. You know, not that they're necessarily individual stoppers, but their focus and engagement has been a lot better than we've known, you know, throughout their careers. So, but I'm still gonna, as much as I can, get them involved and have them, you know, deal with screening actions. You know, you mentioned Kyrie. Okay, let's, you know, if we can post him a little bit, get him, you know, switched off into our bigger guards, our bigger people, and see if we can exploit that. Just to engage him just enough, and you're hoping then that, you know, down the stretch that that exertion of energy may take the legs out just enough to, you know, make that ball hit the front of the rim instead of going squarely through the nets.
BJ, if you were the coach of the Celtics, how would you start game one of this playoffs? Who would be matched up with who? And also, if you were the coach of the Mavericks, how would you match up to begin the series?
Wow, that's a, you know, Mo, you really got to figure out how you're gonna play. And if I'm the Boston Celtics right now, the thing I'm most concerned about is what part of the game am I better than the opposing team? Am I a better half court team than them? Am I a better full court team than them? Am I a team that's going to be an opportunistic team with them? Where can I play to my strengths and minimize my weakness? And as I look at the game, I don't see any glaring advantages that I have with this team. Normally, Derek White is a big guard, but I don't think he will be, you know, I don't think he will be the biggest guard at his matchup in this series. Normally, I love the matchup of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but Luka can X those guys out. He can X one of them out. Certainly, Kyrie can do the same. You know, we talk about Porzingis. Conditioning, and no one's saying it, but I think I have to say it. I hope Porzingis plays. I'm going to challenge his conditioning immediately. Okay. If I'm playing against the Boston Celtics right now, I'm trying to figure out how to extend the series so that maybe by game three or game four, Porzingis can be somewhere where he was prior to the injury. Because I don't expect him to just sit out for how many weeks has he been out now? He's just been out all of a sudden.
He's been out a month, and then he's just gonna
come back into the NBA Finals and be like, okay, guys, I'm back. Let's go. No, so that's not gonna happen. Okay, I think right now Al Horford has to be. He's got to shoulder the majority of those minutes. I think right now, if I'm the Celtics, I'm going zone because I got to preserve something for my guys to be able to play late and be able to extend the series. Because I don't know what Al Horford in particular is going to give me for seven games. I got to be prepared to play seven. And I don't know what Porzingis' body is going to do. I just don't know. These are questions that I have to ask. So, and I don't want to tire Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum out on having to defend that individual matchup. We saw that happen with Anthony Edwards. No, that's not what you're going to do. I was in a series once where the elite matchup was Magic Johnson versus Michael Jordan. That was the matchup everyone came to see. Everybody came to see that. That's all we were talking about. It was established. Michael was going to guard Magic, da-da-da. And the very first game, you guys know what happened? Michael gets two fouls. We lose the game. Out of necessity, we had to change on the fly and put another guy on him, which changed the whole series. And that guy was Scottie Pippen. And then that changed. That was the one thing that changed the game, and we go on to win four straight. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because you never know what's going to happen, but you better be prepared for all circumstances when you get to this moment. There's no second guessing. There's no coulda, woulda, shoulda. You better know exactly what's going to happen. I don't know where the advantage lies for the Boston Celtics in this series. However, if I were coaching the team, I'm certainly going to try to find out. I'm going to find out, first things first, I'm going to find out how they defend the screen roll. Because that's going to allow me to say how I'm going to utilize my two best scorers, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. If I know they're switching, this is what I can do. If I know they're doubling, this is what I can do. Because we're going to need those guys in particular to put together a 48-minute offensive barrage if we're going to win this game. Because let me tell you something. I know what Jason Kidd is going to do. That ball is going to be in Luka's hand or Kyrie's hand for 48 minutes, attacking you at every opportunity. Now, I don't know how you guys are going to do it, Mo, as far as your driving kick and all of your stuff. But I can assure you that Coach Kidd right now, as you guys like to say, the younger, he's in his bag. He got that figured out on the offensive end. Okay? Kidd is going to be
– And the Mavericks defense is pretty much figured out as well.
Mo, I'm picking up the – I must have missed something and not been on the last couple of weeks that – You're on that Boston Celtics staff now. You're on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Last thing.
Okay.
Jason Kidd, I know he's new school, but Jason Kidd is old school regard. Jason Kidd is going to find one play that works, and he's going to force you to stop it before he goes to the next play.
Just pick and roll. We know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And let me tell you something. Scott will tell you this, and anybody who's played in them NBA finals since 1946, confidence is a weird thing. It's a weird thing, especially when you get to the NBA finals. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. This Dallas Mavericks team, they are a confident group. And right now, they playing at an elite level as far as confidence. They all know their roles, and they know what they're doing. And if I'm the Boston Celtics, you better find something that you can do that's going to put that other team on their heels. Because if you don't, Luka going to steamroll over this.
Go ahead, Scott.
You bring up a good point, though, when you talk about confidence. Because on the other side, as I see it, the Boston Celtics are the team that it's either win it or the season was a bust. They've been, this is their championship year. The best team throughout the regular season. There's pressure on both teams because both teams want to win. But in my opinion, there's a little extra on that Boston's locker room. And we talked about it a little bit with Jason Tatum, he wants to be one of the faces of the league, okay. Here you go. They've been to a number of conference finals. This is their second finals. As BJ can tell you, you know, you don't know the next time you're going to get there. You can't take that for granted. Oh, okay, we'll be back next year if we don't win it this year. And the same goes for Dallas. But I'm just telling you, there's a little extra. How does Boston handle this extra weight in this series against this confident bunch of Dallas? Well, let's be frank. A lot of people didn't have this Dallas Mavericks team at this window, obviously the beginning of the year or even the middle of the season. It wasn't until we really, once they got past the Clippers in the first round, people started saying, oh, what about Dallas? So just that psyche and how that's going to unfold, you're going to see the weight of that really play out, especially in the first game to open the series up.
I'm just thinking on the fly here, right? Seeing as Scott decided I'm on the Celtics coaching staff, I want to try something weird for a few possessions if I'm the Celtics, right? Because we've seen Drew Holiday be used as the guy guarding Embiid in matchups with the Sixers, right? We've seen him guard Giannis in matchups with the Bucks. I would be intrigued to see how a couple of possessions of Drew Holiday guarding Gafford or Lively, because that way, when they come to set the screen for Luka, you can straight up switch that. And if you have Tatum guarding Luka Doncic, for example, he can switch onto the big, and then you just stash your big on a PJ Washington, and you have Derek White guarding Kyrie. Tell me why that would not work, because the mismatch of Drew Holiday, or perceived mismatch of Drew Holiday guarding Lively or Gafford, is that, oh, they're much bigger than him. They'll just throw the ball down low and they'll go to work. But that's not how the Mavericks play.
Let me tell you why that won't work. It's because, again, a great player is going to figure it out. All right. Well, why are you setting the screen? What is the responsibility of the ball handler when a screen roll comes? Okay. The responsibility is for you to engage a second defender. Mm-hmm. That's your response. Screen roll is not a play for one particular player. Whenever you, as a guard, and all guards who are listening to this, your responsibility is to engage a second defender. If Luka Doncic can't, if he can't break down one-on-one in a one-on-one situation, if he can't win that matchup, then he's not the player we thought he was. That's why. Okay, you're going to play Luka Doncic one-on-one. Let's go one for a flat and let's play. That's the matchup I wanted anyway.
Yeah, we'll play him one-on-one every single possession down and then go at him every single time down on defense on his busted leg and see how long he survives in a seven-game series.
But we know that the Dallas Mavericks aren't going to allow that to happen. Why? Because they play boxes and elbows on the defensive end. We already know what the Dallas Mavericks are going to do.
But can you play boxes and elbows against a five-out? Against the five-out offense?
Yes, you can. It's made for them. I don't even have to move. Now, you got five guys out. You don't even have any penetration. The first rule, the first principle of an offense is you must establish ball penetration. You can do it with the drive.
That's what the Celtics do.
The shot, and you can do it with the dribble. So that's why I'm saying it's going to be very hard to win a championship plan five-out offense because you never establish the first principle of a sound offense. You must have dribble penetration. You must have
That's what their five-out is based on. It's not that they bring the ball up the court, everyone stands still, and they play netball, passing it to each other around the perimeter. It's based on driving and kicking.
And they're going to play boxes and elbows on the defensive end. This is what they do. Just watch them. We know what they're going to do. However, if you're just going to play five out and the guys are sitting at the boxes and the elbows, well, what are you going to do? There's no place to go. That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to do something to establish your brand of basketball, right? So every team that establishes that, here's your brand. You must get stops. Why? Because you must play advantage basketball. And if you are the Celtics, do you really want to get into a track meet with them? I don't know. Maybe, but you better figure out how to stop them, because in the half court, we know what the Dallas Mavericks are going to do. I was at the series. You and I talked on the phone against the Clippers. They picked on Luka every single play. Ty Lue picked on him. Jason Kidd in game two said, no, we're not having that. And he went boxes and elbows. And every team that's tried to do it since then have lost. And now I'm seeing Luka dive on the floor for loose balls right now, as if he's all defensive team. So we know they have a defensive scheme right now that works. Luka has bought in on the defensive end, and you're not going to pick on any player with them. That's a fact. Now, that's why I keep saying you better figure out this mixture of defense or offense that you're going to need, because if you think you're just going to pick on their player and they're going to switch, they're not having it. Ask Minnesota. Ask them. Ask the Clippers. It's not going to happen.
What I will ask you both, it's your official prediction. Who and in how many games is winning the NBA championship? Scott Perry, let's start with you.
Woo! It's a tough one. So I've gone back and forth. The team that's playing the best right now is the Dallas Mavericks. The team that has been the best for an entire season has been the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in all transparency, you know, look, I coach Jason Kidd, so I'm pulling for him and his ball club. But for an official prediction, some reason I feel that Boston will finally get over the hump, and I think that the Celtics will win in seven.
BJ Armstrong.
I'm going to say this. You know, when I look at the championship pedigrees of both of these teams, right? You know, I look at the guard position of your Boston Celtics. There's a championship caliber player that has won a championship there. When I look at the Dallas Mavericks, there's a championship caliber player there. I think this series is going to come down to the following. This is Luka, Jason Tatum. I think that scratches each other out. I really do. I think, all right, one has 35, the other one have 30. They'll do their thing. I think Jaylen Brown will do his thing, and offensively, him and Kyrie will cancel each other out. I think the series is going to come down to one thing, which I don't know. I think the coaches are going to have to play a big part in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need your coach to win you a game.
Game, now, no question. I've always
okay. And you need now. Jason Kidd right now he's at an elite level right now. Like every now and then, you know, you'll see a player playing at an elite level. You say, oh man, that player's in his zone. Jason Kidd right now has the pulse of his team. He's got the pulse of his team. Okay. He is him and that team. They're, and how do I know this? Because when I see Jason Kidd say the most important player on his team right now is Markieff Morris, that means 1 through 12, he knows what's going on with that group and when they need him and when they don't need him. He's talking about Markieff Morris. I don't even know if Markieff Morris has played in the playoffs.
It's garbage time.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jason Kidd right now is now.
No, he's yeah.
He's on it.
Now, he's doing it all without intentionally spilling a drink on the court.
Like he did. I give Jason the edge too.
All I'm saying is you need everyone to be at their very best. And Coach Mazzulla right now, because I'm a fan of Coach Mazzulla right now, he's going to have to step up and match that. Okay.
And I will say to his credit, though.
And when I say match that, you win some games, you lose some games, a shot here and there. But if it's a game where one of the coaches makes a move and the other coach doesn't counter it immediately, that's a game changer in this series. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because both of these teams are very capable. I think it is very evenly matched. But I think it's going to come down to that one incident, coaching. I think it's going to come down to that one. And right now, Jason Kidd right now, he's coaching at the best right now. right now. I mean, he did it against, he did it in the series versus
Minnesota.
Minnesota. He did it against the coach of the year, OKC. He did it against Ty Lue. Ty Lue is, and they lost these. He lost two rounds already, and they lost the first game of those rounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so right. This guy is not going to panic under pressure. They could lose against your Celtics in round one, and we know he's comfortable with that. I don't know what the Celtics will do if they lose game one.
I'll have a meltdown. Exactly. I'm going to have to ask you for a team and how many games and who's going to win a championship.
Okay. Now, I say all of this. I'm going to say the Mavericks.
In how many games?
I'm going to say the Mavericks in six. And the reason I'm going to say that is because and I hope I'm wrong here, but I'm going to say it. The Celtics always give away a game for whatever the reason may be. Like they could win by 30.
They didn't against Indiana, though. And they won some close games in Indiana, and close games were their kryptonite.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's Indiana. This is a different animal.
You know the beauty of it. The beauty of it, because I don't, and maybe BJ, you can recall a time, but I can't recall a time where both teams had this long of a layoff before the start.
Yeah, I can't remember either. Yeah, I mean,
so what'd be interesting, and that's kind of what led me to maybe, you know, to favor the Celtics just slightly, because I think had they played after 3 or 4 days.
That's a good point.
I love the rhythm that Dallas was in.
Yep, that's
and
a good point.
I probably would have said Dallas. But, you know, now you're talking about 8-9 days. Now, yeah, on the one hand, Luka could recover more. You know, he should be a little bit healthier. But, again, you never know what a week to 10 days can be in just in terms of just flow and all. I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to see. That's all, because I can't recall a time when it's been this long a layoff for both teams going into a final.
So Scott's going with Boston. BJ's going with Dallas. I'm going
and with... Mo's going with Dallas, so that way if Dallas loses, then he can say I told you so, and if they win, he can say hey, he's a Celtics fan. So Celtic I'm going to pick yours, Mo.
No, BJ. Let's just pause for a sec, okay?
Okay, all right.
That's not why I do that. If you remember, 2022 feels like a lifetime ago. All season long. Remember the Celtics started the season horribly, and they turned it around in late January. But all season long, I said they weren't going to win anything. Playoffs long, I picked them to lose, okay? And then when they were two games away from winning the championship in the final, I finally said it. I finally said that I thought the Celtics were going to win, and that's when it all fell apart. Okay. And ever since that moment, I've never picked this. It can be a Monday night game in January against the Charlotte Hornets, and I picked the Charlotte Hornets to win. So for any of our new listeners who are confused as to why I'm a Celtics fan and I never, ever picked the Celtics to win, this is the reason. It's a very superstitious reason. So I'm going to say Mavericks in four. But I have recorded my actual prediction weeks ago, and I will upload that.
You said Mavericks
if
in four?
If it comes true.
You're saying Mavericks in four?
Because this is how it works, Scott. This is how it works.
All right. All right.
This is a superstition. We don't know.
You
will never know my real prediction unless it comes true, and I will upload it.
But you'd be really sick if it was Mavericks in four too, wouldn't you?
He's speaking it into existence. He's
exactly.
Speaking
well, I said this. Be careful what you speak into existence, Mo.
I said this to my friends the other day because they were pestering me to give them a prediction. I said, guys, you know I'm not ever going to say out loud any prediction involving the Celtics. And I just said, I'll tell you this, though. If the Celtics win, this is going to be the best summer of my life. But if the Celtics lose, this is going to be the most depressing summer I ever have. So my happiness is depending on you, Joe Mazzulla. Let's hope you've got something up your sleeve. Sincerely,
you're putting it all on Joe, huh?
Yeah, you're putting it on. You see how you do that all on Joe, Joe Scotty.
Now, you're one of Joe's assistants. You can't do that, Mo, as one of his assistant coaches.
Hey, I'm just saying, deliver us to the promised land, my brother. That's all I can say, because you've had the best team all season long. You put up historic statistics. All of that means nothing if you can't win four of the next seven games.
Yeah.
Okay. It will be an anecdote in the history books if you can't get the job done.
It's going to be a fascinating series. I can tell you that much.
I cannot wait. I will be live on your TVs, BBC, for game one. After that, I wanted to go out there. I'm going to share this with the listeners. I'm going to share this with you guys because why not? I've got nothing to lose at this point. I wanted to go out there for the finals. And I said to a few of the broadcasters over here in the UK, I said, I may be out there for the finals. Would you guys like some content and whatnot while I'm over there? And this is how committed they are to growing basketball. All of them said no. So if you don't see coverage from the NBA finals from me, you can't blame me. You can tell the broadcasters that they've let you down. But I'm still trying to figure out a way to get out there. If I can, it'll be fantastic. If I can't, then we'll figure that out. But yeah, it should be very fun. And it's a great matchup. Do you know who the real winner is of this NBA finals before it even begins? Do you guys want to know who the real winner is?
I'd love to hear it, Mo.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Because the two young faces of the Jordan brand, Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic, all of whom have signature sneakers, are going head-to-head on the biggest stage in basketball. There was a time where Under Armour was the top dog in the NBA Finals with Stephen Curry running amok, and Nike had to get Kevin Durant to Golden State to save them. But now order is restored, and Jordan brand, Air Jordan, is back on top.
Hey, leave it to Mo. Mo, you don't miss a commercial.
All I gotta say is I hope my shoes arrive now.
Exactly. Yes, you need a nice fresh pair of brand Jordans after that.
Oh hell yeah! Oh, do you know what's really nice? I've got Jason and Luca both gave me signed jerseys this summer when I linked up with them. They personalized the jerseys and gave them to me. Whoever wins the final gets the top row in my office of where the framed jerseys are going to be sitting. So. If that means anything to you guys, I suggest you go out and win. One thing I do want to say before we wrap up here is Boston's fans are known for being a little bit hostile to opposing players. Now, okay. We've seen this get under Kyrie Irving's skin when he was with the Brooklyn Nets. We've seen him making swearing gestures towards the crowd and whatnot. I get a different vibe from Kyrie Irving at this stage of his career where he's very much more mature than to allow that to get under his skin. And if anything, he'll use that for motivation. But to the fans in Boston, if there's one person in the world you don't want to piss off, that man is Luka Doncic, because he feeds off the energy in opposing buildings. He's built for this. He's played basketball in arenas with daunting atmospheres that you couldn't dream of in America. This man was a champion in Europe as a teenager. This guy's been a champion on the international stage. So here's my thing. Just leave that man alone. Just enjoy the game. Cheer for the Celtics. But just don't do it. I've seen them printing t-shirts today that say Luka sucks and Kyrie sucks. Don't do it. Okay. Leave that man alone and just enjoy the game. I'm very afraid. That's what I will say. But yeah, okay, that's the NBA Finals preview. Appreciate you both checking in. We'll be back after game one.
We didn't even get to the major subjects. We didn't even get to the major subjects. So maybe next time. We didn't get to the major subjects.
Go ahead, BJ. Go ahead, BJ.
No, I'm ready to go. Until next time, you know the vibes.
The BJ Armstrong bingo card was out in full force today. We had blend brand of basketball. We had vertical basketball. We had downhill at the guard position. We had it all.
I just want to remind you that, you know, that's what makes us different. We're not changing with narratives and all that. We're just pointing it out so that the people can understand.
Yeah, absolutely. It is pathetic how, and no offense, Scott, to your colleagues over at ESPN, but it is really pathetic how in the build-up to the NBA Finals, the discussions are basically, Jason Tatum doesn't really like Jaylen Brown because he wasn't smiling enough when he lifted up his MVP trophy. Like, come on, guys. You're supposed to be professional journalists. Why is this a talking point? Grow up. Yeah. And then I'm just wondering how many games of the finals it begins until they find a way to weave LeBron somehow into these conversations. We don't need to do that. Let's talk about the game, because that's what we're doing here on this show. And if you like hearing about the game, this is the only show you need to be with, because all that stuff on your TV screen, I promise you, that ain't it. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. No offense, Scott. So I know you do great work at ESPN, but some of your colleagues are letting the team down. I'm not saying any names. But here we are. The NBA Finals is going to be a movie. We'll be with you every step of the way. So until next time, you guys know what it is. get buckets.